All right, I'm a postdoc. I'm working for Dr. Dan Long, so everything I'm presenting to you has been done under his supervision. I'm going to give you a brief outline of what I'm going to cover today. I'm going to start with identifying the problem for estimating yield for canola. Then I'm going to talk about a spectral index we developed that describes variation in flower density, and that's number of flowers per pixel. And then I'm going to discuss spectral indices used for leaf area estimation for canola while it's flowering. And then I'm going to tie everything together with a discussion about spectral indices used for estimating yield and relative yield potential. So to get started off, the normalized difference vegetation index is something everyone in this room is probably familiar with. You all know it. You love it. It's based on a contrast between near-infrared and red light, fundamentally. And it's a signal that originates from the leaf, so it's a leaf-level signal. The issue with canola is that there's a canopy component that has a very spectrally prominent contribution to reflected signals, and that's the flowers. The flowers, since they're yellow, they're reflecting red and green light. So this red light reflecting from the flower petals, essentially, the variation in that confounds algorithms such as NDVI. And the first authors I've seen that have systematically studied this were Shen et al., and they noted that yellow flowers can decrease NDVI and very closely related index EVI values. In alpine meadow, they did this using buttercups, which have a very different canopy structure than canola, but this was the first article I found that called attention to the issue. All right, so yield estimates for canola made by satellite typically involve a mid to late season satellite image acquisition. And if that's done before flowering happens, everything's good and fine. A problem is that the reproductive stage of flowering that directly follows the vegetative growth stages, that's when the yellow flowers become out in the canopy and they start to become an issue. Another paper that Shen et al. Wrote said that it's spatial variation in flower coverage that confounds the relationship between NDVI and leaf area index, but you could probably generalize that to say the relationship between NDVI and anything you use it as a proxy for, such as yield. So what we decided to do was try to describe variation in flowers, since variation in flowers is what's confusing this algorithm. Right, so how can we do that? And can we use this information to rectify the relationship between NDVI and other biophysical variables we're trying to estimate? This slide shows you the mean spectral response of 36 subplots, where what I did was I took the spectral reflectance of an area while it still had flowers, and then I trimmed off all the flowers and I put them in a bag, and then I got the spectral reflectance again. And so this red line here, and those are rectangles, those are diamonds, this is the mean spectral response with the flowers, and then the blue line is the spectral response averaged across all 36 plots without the flowers. And on the bottom here shows their standard deviations. And this high standard deviation in the near-infrared region just says what's going on here isn't very reliable. But what's going on over here is really interesting. If the canopy was just pure flowers without leaves, you would expect it to be pretty flat across this region here, but it's not. What's happening, I think, is there's a spectral mixing going on between the flowers and the leaves, and that's reducing the signal, especially as you get towards where the red absorption due to chlorophyll is at. But the main patterns to notice here is that there's increased reflectance when there are flowers present, the green, the yellow, and the red, whereas there's the blue reflectance decreases. And this is possibly due to carotenoid absorption in the flower petals, maybe a combination of alpha or beta carotene. So what's going on, the reason why the flowers are yellow isn't because they're an actual pure, true yellow color. It's an anti-blue. So there's something chemically that's absorbing the blue light, and so everything else is being reflected. All right, what this shows for the flower counting that I did, it shows the relationship between different spectral bands and how many flowers we counted in each quadrat. So what we did is we set a half square meter quadrat out and counted all the flowers in that area. And so I did this using a Tetracam camera, the Mini MCA6. And these are the bands that I had on it. A blue band centered at 450, a green band at 550, a red and an infrared band. And then I also went out there with a spectroradiometer, and I converted the spectroradiometer into a Worldview 2 band equivalent reflectance. I thought that'd be interesting because Worldview 2 has a yellow band on it, right? So is this yellow band useful for estimating how yellow something is? And the pattern to look at here is the near infrared is positively related to flowers, how many flowers there are per quadrat. However, it's also related to leaf area index and how many layers of leaves there are. You'll notice as you go from red to yellow, from green to yellow to red, that the correlation with the number of flowers actually decreases. I think this is due to spectral mixing between the chlorophyll in the leaves and the flower reflectance. And that explains why this correlation is lower than it is for the green band. And then most interesting here is that the blue band is strongly negatively correlated to the number of flowers. Again, I think this is due to the absorption in the petals. Now, what this tells me, looking at these scatter plots, is that blue will provide a nice contrast to one of these three bands, and I suspect green would be the best because you don't have that red absorption bleeding into this band, but I think it might be bleeding a little bit into the yellow band. So what we decided is to estimate the number of flowers per quadrat, so that's the amount of reproductive sexual growth. We should try to just do a ratio of blue to green light. So what I did on a separate date was, this is our field experiment, and we had a water gradient built into it. And so there was a lot of variation throughout the field in how many flowers were present. And so I flew a microcopter with a CineStar frame, and I had a Tetracam Mini MCA6 on it. And I flew it at about 112 meters above ground level, so the ground sample distance on this, the pixel resolution is approximately 7 centimeters. And then these are the locations where I did all of the flower counting. So after I came in from counting the flowers, what I did is I took the imagery and I just divided the blue band into the green band. And I averaged that pixel value per quadrat and then related it to how many flowers I counted. And you can see the range of flowers I counted varied from about 1, because there were some plots that hardly had any, all the way up to 600 for that date. And so the R-squared on that is, I think you could realistically expect to get an R-squared of about 0.80. But the relationship is very strong. So what this demonstrates is that with broadband data, we can just take a simple ratio of two bands in the visible spectrum to estimate how yellow, or the density of flowers, which is how yellow the canopy is. Right now, this is the variation that's confusing algorithms that are being used to do things like estimate yield for canola. And if you go to the Canola Council of Canada's website, which is a terrific website to learn about canola, they have this nice graph on there that shows different yield components of canola. Right? And so one of the yield components is the number of pods per plant. And with remote sensing, we can't estimate the number of pods per plant, but what I just showed you is we can estimate the number of flowers per pixel element. Right? And this should be very closely related to how many pods, because about 50% of the flowers will develop into seed-producing pods. All right, so we got that. The next yield component is the number of plants per unit area. The closest approximation to this I could figure out is just leaf area index. How can we estimate leaf area index? So another day when it was flowering, there's my supervisor. He went out with a Accupar LP80, and for 36 sample plots he within that quadrat, he took 5 evenly spaced measurements below the canopy and 1 above canopy reading and estimated the LAI values. I went around with a spectroradiometer and took the spectral reflectance, and then I convolved the reflectance into Landsat 8 band equivalent reflectance, and then just did some basic spectral ratios. The first one, near infrared by red, that's fundamentally just NDVI. And there's really no correlation. Again, this is due to variation in flowering. Now, the near-infrared divided by green, there have been papers that showed sometimes this is correlated to leaf area index, so I just threw that in there to try it out. It didn't work out so well, I think because that green is very sensitive to flowering as well. The ratio that worked out the best was near-infrared to blue, and so this is another version of NDVI. Some people call it blue NDVI, and so the R-squared on that was 0.8. And so I think that a normalized difference index of near-infrared and blue bands are probably going to be the best choice for trying to determine what's the leaf area index, or the amount of biomass, while the crop's in a flowering state. And on the bottom line are different. What I did was I took each of those indexes on the top, and I just multiplied them by this ratio of green into blue light, which I'm going to refer to as a yellowness index. Before the flowers come out, it's a greenness index, right, because you're just ratioing green to blue. But once the flowers come out, there's even more and more green reflectance, and so it becomes a yellowness index. But the yellowness index by itself doesn't do very well for estimating leaf area index because it wasn't designed to, and it doesn't have a near-infrared band. You probably have to have a near-infrared band to get a good correlation with it. But normalizing NDVI by it, which is just a multiplication, does increase NDVI's with the red, NDVI's relationship and performance. But still, the best thing to do in this instance is just dodge the red band. Now, if you have white flowers out there, can you just dodge any of the bands? That's a whole other story. But for yellow flowers, I think you can, for LAI, just dodge the red band. All right, so you might be asking yourself, is yield estimation for canola really an issue? There's an article in a Canadian magazine called The Western Producer. And what they said was that satellite crop estimates are too low. And they had a crop consultant say that Canada's crop condition assessment program, yield estimates for canola, just keep underestimating it. He said that the problem is that remote sensing tells you what the vegetative growth is, but not what the seed is. Okay? Now, if we rephrase that as remote sensing tells you what the vegetative growth, but not what the reproductive growth is, then you could think, well, it's that reproductive growth is actually confounding the mathematical transformation that's relying on a signal coming from vegetative growth, right? So I think this person understands that there's too much importance about the reproductive growth, and just trying to look at the signal coming from the vegetation isn't cutting it. And there's a paper, Optimal Time for Remote Sensing to Relate to Crop Grain Yield on the Canadian Prairies. I think this was written in 2004, 2006, and they tried to estimate yield for canola in the Great Plains in Canada, and they just had horrible correlations to yield estimates, and they said it's probably due to the bright yellow flowers. Now, the Crop Condition Assessment Report uses MODIS NDVI, so I think that the fact that they're using MODIS NDVI means they're covering a large area, right? They're getting a mid-season estimate, so there are fields that are in all different development stages that will include flowering and not include flowering. Could be at anthesis, 50%, 100% flowering, and there's variation in that that's throwing off the NDVI algorithm. So our premise for estimating yield is if you know per pixel where there are more flowers, then that's where there are eventually going to be more pods and then more seed. So in 2013, we had another experiment with a water gradient, and this is the high water treatment, this is intermediate, and these were drip line irrigated. And then over here by these evergreen trees, this was low water. And so those trees actually sucked up a lot of the water from the soil. But what I did was I went around with a spectroradiometer, and for quarter square meter area plots, I took the spectral reflectance at 82 of these plots for each time date. And then I took those spectroradiometer data and I converted it to band equivalent reflectance for Landsat 8. And in this case, I use normalized difference indexes because when you're doing yield estimation, you're often doing time series, and normalized differencing rescales the data that makes it in a form that's very suitable for time series analysis. And so I've got NDYI, which is the yellowness. It's just a ratio of green to blue, a contrast between these two bands, red NDVI and blue NDVI. All right, the row here shows the different index, red NDVI, blue NDVI, yellowness, and then red normalized by yellowness and blue NDVI normalized by yellowness. As you go down the columns, that's the correlation between that spectral index and then the final yield. So what we did at the end of the growing season is we just did a small hand harvest, and then we weighed the seed in those areas. So the pattern to notice here for NDVI is that, and right here is anthesis. This is about 20%, 30% flower. This date was full flower, and then by here most of the flowers had fallen off, and there were still some leaves present. NDVI is doing an okay job. This is consistent with what's been published for correlations. And once you get to flowering, the R-squared plummets from about 50% to 23%, right? And then once the flowers are gone, it's back up to about 53%. The normalized difference index with blue, it has a similarity to the one with red in that they both have some curvature in the relationship between the index value and yield. But when you go over to the yellowness index, it actually has more of a linear relationship to yield, which I think is an attractive property. And its index value actually, its correlation, the R-squared, which that actually gets better once the flowers come out. It's not as good before the flowers are really present, but once it starts describing variation and what it's designed to, it performs very well. And I'm not exactly sure if this is consistent using actual satellite data doing these normalizations. I still need to check that out. But right now I would go ahead and say that just using a ratio of green and blue will provide a better, at least statistical correlation with what the final yield is going to look like. And so the average red NDVI and the average yellowness for each of these dates, I plotted this for the high water treatment because it was flowering the most. The thing to notice is that the yellowness index, it measures the green wave of canola growth. Once the flowers become present in the canola canopy, NDVI drops, right? Is the total amount of biomass decreasing? No, but those flowers are reflecting red light, and so that's confusing NDVI. So canola does have a green wave. The green wave actually has a yellow crest, and that yellow crest is when NDVI slope goes from being positive to negative. And I think when NDVI slope changes, that's when you know that flowering starts. So NDVI is very useful for determining phenological transitions, but it's not good for doing things like estimating leaf area index or yield. And so here's just a comparison between the two, NDVI blue and NDVI red. NDVI is an index that's sensitive to vegetative growth. It's a vegetation index. NDYI, it's sensitive to reproductive growth, and so we want to call it a reproduction index. You may be asking yourself, well, what if there are yellow flowers out there, right? So would it be sensitive to those? I haven't looked into that. Maybe. If it is, that's great for other crops that don't flower, have bright yellow flowers, because then you can find where there might be chlorosis occurring or some type of stress. But in the case of canola, if this leaf on the bottom here is turning yellow, that just means it's translocating photosynthate further up that will help with its physiology of yield. So that would be a good thing, actually, probably, for the case of canola. But I need to look into its sensitivity to yellow leaves. Now, multiplying the two by each other, if you looked on the graphs on the other pages, it did give a very good correlation with yield. And so I think multiplying those two, you're getting an overall canopy reproduction potential because you're seeing the reproductive growth and the vegetative growth that's going to provide the nutrients for it to develop further and produce a good yield. All right. So just to conclude, the ratio of green and blue, for farmers, if they just put this on a UAV, they could just do this with a regular point-and-shoot camera, a happy snap, right? That would be looking at within-field relative yield potential. They might be able to use that to help delineate management zones, or visually just assess their expectations for where's the part of the field that I was expecting the most. Near infrared over blue would be good for things like estimating light interception and that's CO2 assimilation. All right, and so that's everything I have today. Thanks.
Saturation and value like that.
Right. It would be interesting to compare. What I've demonstrated is just an improvement over the current method. And so transforming into a different color space may provide an advantage, especially if you're trying to look for something like sulfur deficiency, because the leaves tend to bleach, or the flower petals tend to bleach when there's sulfur deficiency. So doing hue intensity saturation, that color space would probably help with tracking changes like that, because that could impact yield. So that's a really good idea. That would be something definitely to look forward to and compare it against. And thanks for the recommendation.
Do you think there'd be any difference between hybrids? Some of the hybrids have a shorter flowering, but a more compressed stature, so they're more intensely yellow for a shorter period of time versus other ones that flower for a longer period of time and have a less compressed body or plant structure.
So does that have an influence on the timing of the image acquisition or just on the relationship? Yeah, so I think that would give you probably you would need higher temporal resolution to pick up on when is flowering starting, when it's one of those other varieties. Now, if it's more intense, I think then you see there are some canola varieties that have white flowers or kind of beige flowers, and it might not work so well for those. For the yellow flowers, if it's brighter, great. It's just canopies where there isn't much flowering going on, like maybe there are some varieties of mustard where it's just very thin flowering. It wouldn't work well for that. It really requires the flowers to have a spectrally prominent contribution to the overall reflectance signal. So there are some canopies, too, a canola breeder told me, where the flowering is next to the main stem instead of right at top and around it, right? And so the spectral mixing between the flowers and the leaves might be different than when you have flowers right on top of the leaves. And so that could alter the relationship, too. We did this all with Brassica napus. It is Roundup Ready Brassica napus. And so it's a very common type that you should be encountering in satellite imagery. Do you have a particular variety in mind?
Well, my experience is the Invader and Liberty links tend to have more intense, shorter flowering and more compressed structure
Yeah, so I think if you get an image at any point of that flowering, it should correlate well with the yield, especially if it's intense. I think the more intense it is, the more that should help the yellowness, the more it would harm the NDVI. Less brilliant flowers, less intense, NDVI should start doing better. Yeah.
Since yellow is the combination of red and green, did you try any of those indices where you used the green band by replacing it with the average of the red and green?
Well, I summed red and green together. So I tried that out, and that didn't work out very well, because if it was just the flowers by themselves, I think that should work pretty well, but the flowers are mixing with the leaves, and so the traditional approaches to yellowness, sometimes it would take, there are two existing yellowness indexes out there that are based on narrow band transformations, and they look for the difference in curvature between a green, a yellow, and a red band, and the more curvature there is in there, means the less yellow it is. And so I plugged for those algorithms that are meant for narrow bands, I plugged those into the WorldView 2 bands, and the highest R squared I got with the number of flowers was 0.30. And so those didn't perform very well. There is a tassel cap yellowness transformation for multispectral scanner, but that sensor didn't have a blue band on it. And I think blue band's really important. I actually made my own spectral tassel cap yellowness for canola, for Landsat 8, and it does a better job than NDVI, but doesn't do as well as just the band ratio. But I like the band ratio because you can apply it to any sensor with a blue and a green band. But I didn't try the average. I'm sure I tried a lot of combinations, but this is what all the stuff I'm messing with. This is the best result. It was a simple one. Yeah. All right.
Okay,
thanks for your time.
Questions?